Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is your host, Monk, and you can check out more about writings and publishings and other activities at allbook-books.com. So this week, a little book review plus some side notes. Found this book, surprisingly, at a farmer's market. The book was put together by Francis S. O'Brien. O'Brien. He's a photographer, writer, and adventurer, social studies teacher in the Amityville School District. And it's co-written, or I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but he transcribed, or he helped put together a gentleman named with the story, based on the true story, of Stephen M. Berger, who's also still alive on Long Island. I think he may be in his 90s. And it's a short little book, about 115 pages reading, and it's called Slave Laborer, a Holocaust Survivor Story. And is very poignant, very powerful. Good little chunk of history from the personal story side, as he mentions in the book. His story is just one little story of many, many stories. And personally, for me, being of Jewish heritage, it was, I don't know how to describe it yet, but it was just good, in quotes, good for me to read on many levels to help me learn more about what happened historically and what, you know, some of my people have been through, and further the appreciation for the simple pleasures in life as reading about the horrific conditions, you know, brutal and horrific, as anyone who has studied the Holocaust, the World War II era Holocaust knows about. Basically, in the prologue, he says, being 16 years old, I had no knowledge or interest in politics, yet even I was aware that things were changing in the world, Europe, Hungary, and even in my hometown of Debrecen, D-E-B-R-E-C-E-N. He's a Hungarian Jew. At the start of World War II in 1939, Hungary was a part of the Axis powers. I'm not sure who decided this, but the fact remains. As an ally of Nazi Germany, Hungary provided supplies and soldiers who fought side by side with the Nazis on the Russian front. Since the governments of Nazi Germany and Hungary were, quote, friends, each ran their own affairs. For me and others as Hungarian Jews, this was a good thing in some ways, for we were left alone. And his father served in the war. 10% of the town that he lived in was Jewish. The Hungarian schools didn't make accommodations for Jews, so we had our own schools. The schools I attended were excellent. The teachers challenged us to be the best we could be. In other words, I lived a normal life. So then it gets into, you know, the Hitler and World War II, and he is taken. His father tells him, I forget the exact scenario, but he's taken away with his mother and little sister, and his father says to make sure that he takes care of them, and they wind up in a factory, which is really a slave labor camp. But considering the work hours and the harsh treatment, the silver lining was it was better than, you know, the alternatives, which could be just being tortured, beaten, or off to the ovens. So also amazing is Berger's, in the story, Stefan Berger's several little bits of humor, sort of the way he views the world, I found to show sort of saving grace or how to get through hard times and don't lose the humor. The chapter Factory Work starts. Our workday started at 7 a.m. and ended at 7 p.m. with a short break for lunch. We worked 7 days a week, even Sundays. Apparently, slave laborers don't get a day off under the Third Reich. Most of the things we produced were standard parts for trucks and jeeps, like crankcases and gears. Any custom orders were done in the machine shop where I worked. And there's some, you know, heartwarming stories. There's both a contrast of the brutality of the factory manager and then the treatment. You know, if someone wasn't doing their job, somebody got just whacked. And actually, part of my personal side note is that this is like not over since the war was over, but it's morphed into sweatshop labor and even Amazon, where workers report having unable to get bathroom breaks or having to walk incredibly long distances, and just the toll it takes on the body for working there is to great pains. But along with the brutality, some of the brutality, if one wasn't keeping up with their work, he's also thrown this brown paper bag out a window, and it turns out to be sandwiches, as they were underfed. And so it's a contrast of the compassion and good-heartedness of people contrasted with the cruelty. And also, interestingly, in a historical perspective and something to consider, as he says in the epilogue, that is my story. There are millions of other stories as well, for the Holocaust was not an isolated event that occurred in a remote corner of the world. This happened in the center of a cultured Europe run by well-educated people with doctorate degrees and PhDs. While millions were dying, millions of others lived their lives as if nothing was wrong. Many others simply went along with it because they believed that it didn't affect them. So I find parallels with that nowadays, in the sense of the neoliberalism and sometimes the sort of called lefties, left-leaning people that are, turn out to be pro-war. I mean, Obama was touted as, lefty and democratic, but then he was doing some severe drone bombing. So, these are, again, there's an interesting thing to note, that cruelty can happen amongst well-educated people with degrees. And also another parallel I saw with the recent news of the coming out of the graves for the native peoples in the U.S. and Canada, the residential boarding schools, which were enforced boarding schools. And here in the book it says, in Vienna alone there were 68 labor camps like Strassow and 105 employees of slave labor. There were hundreds more all across Europe. This part of the war is often overlooked and left out of the history books. And another horrible fact, overall 1.5 million children under the age of 5 died in the Holocaust. Their only crime was simply being who they were. So it's obviously a heavy-duty book, but it's super well written, and I think it would make an excellent movie with some very dramatic scenes. So it's well worth a read if it's in your topic of interest. And I'll briefly sum up some of the connections to nowadays. Like I mentioned, the slave labor, and then I quote John Trudell, who said, I think that the Nazis won World War II. Their authoritarian method of behavior control and mind manipulation, converting human spirit into energy so they can feed the need for their technology, turning it into energy to run their system. We need to remember that what happens to the earth happens to us. And that sounds like an astounding quote at first, but considering a few things, that the Operation Paperclip, which you can look up and research, there were Nazi engineers and scientists and chemists brought to the U.S. And so there's repercussions of that. And there was also U.S. funding that abetted the Nazis, in particularly Rockefeller Standard Oil and Henry Ford with cars and rubber. And there were IBM punch cards data that was to keep track of people and family trees and, to identify people. And also of recent, this is the quote in December of 2020, the United States and Ukraine were the only two nations to vote against a United Nations resolution Wednesday on combating glorification of Nazism, neo-Nazism, and other practices that contribute to fueling contemporary forms of racism, racial discrimination, xenophobia, and related intolerance. The resolution passed 130-2. End quote. So that's an astounding quote, and it does put in perspective Trudell's quote that, in essence, the Nazis weren't necessarily defeated in some form, yes, after World War II, but when you look at what's going on in the world, that strain and that horrible, you know, superiority and domination and supremacy psychology and what the repercussions are is still all too prevalent. So that's my personal side riff on the book. The book itself doesn't get into all that, but I felt it necessary to not just, for me personally, not to just see that book as a chunk of history, but to see how it affects today. And one more bit along the lines of the slave labor is to also say that the ongoing issue of any regime, fascist or the empires, is that, as the book says, slave labor, it is based on labor, the hard work that many won't do, that they force others to do, and based on extractivism and the resources. So there's two things that are seen, as I've seen that over and over again after over 20 years of researching and looking at history and current events and wars, and it's the same thing over and over again. It has to do with resources and extractivism and controlling of people, and that requires manpower and the labor to do it, even though the technology is starting to take over there. But so that also puts the slave labor book in, you know, in my opinion, in the bigger context of what's still going on in the world and what needs to change. I will also say that the book Slave Labor, A Holocaust Survivor Story, is a real testament to the, you know, human being's ability to survive and get through hard times in an amazingly spirited way. So check it out if you're interested. And thank you again. Be well, be peaceful, and thanks for listening.